while they were watching
Obama spying on Americans.
You were listening. Keep on listening.
It's so sick.
Sean Hannity, today after Rush on 55 KRC.
At 55 KRCD Talk Station, a very happy Friday to you. Got stuff and things going on downtown. We'll find out about that in the next hour. In the meantime, I am pleased to welcome back, as I always am, Congressman Brad Wenstrup. Talk about a variety of matters. Congressman Wenstrup, always good to have you back on, and welcome back.
Thank you, Brian. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing well. Fine. How are things going in Washington, D.C. today?
Well, we're not there, obviously. And so things in the world aren't going well. I've listened to your past hour, and it really is an uplifting time in our world, isn't it?
I know. Disgusting and the horror. Let's just start in Barcelona. It's the most recent illustration of that. We can, of course, go back and we'll talk about Charlottesville and other areas and problems in the world. But 14 people now dead. They said that the death toll would likely go up, and, of course, it has by one with the horrific van attack in Spain's second largest city that happened yesterday, and more than 100 people injured, and just we worry about terrorism, worry about bombs and planes. This reality is, vans, cars, trucks, knives. I know that the list of items that ISIS is recommending its minion uses are ubiquitous. These are not things that you can ban. This is not like a discussion on firearm ownership. You can't get rid of trucks and vans. I guess that means, yeah. What are we left to do, Brad? Other than remain vigilant.
Yeah, vigilance is one thing, obviously, and that's everybody's personal responsibility. But we're also vulnerable with attacks like that. Are you supposed to just quit living your lives? That's what they would like, and that's the last thing you want to give them. I think about other types of more conventional wars. World War II, you want to bomb the ball bearing factory, right? You want to cut it out from underneath. You want to take them out at the knees.
You want to kill the opposition uniformed combatant flying under a nation's flag. We don't have that here.
No, we don't. And that's what makes it even more challenging. But I do think that collectively we need to go after the root of everything and stop this spread, whether it's on the internet, however they're doing the recruiting, how they're spreading their message. And we have to stop it. I don't know, as we move forward, what that looks like. I know Putin called for some type of collaboration. China has as well. Well, we do that with them. That sounds like a good idea. We collaborated with them in World War II, but we got to do it with both eyes open because the trust level isn't quite there, right?
Right.
And, so how do we tear this out at the root so that it stops? And will there be some Muslim resistance to work along with it? The world's always presented us with evil, but we got plenty of it out there now. It is daunting, but we can't stop the fight. But maybe we need to be smarter about it.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And of course, that takes us over to Charlottesville. We had an effort by some person to I don't know if that was just a spur of the moment thing, or that idiot behind the wheel of the Dodge actually intended to go and mow down and kill a bunch of people like the terrorists, but. Some could claim copycat. It was Wolf Blitzer, I think, on CNN that believed that ISIS was copycatting the racist on Saturday. I just had to do a facepalm on that because, of course, we've seen incidents of vehicles being used to kill people by ISIS that go back for the last year or so. But the fact remains, and also built into that conversation, that whole enemy of my enemy is my friend, as you alluded to. Yeah, China wants to sit down. Russia wants to sit down and collectively fight terrorism. Well, that's kind of what I saw in response to the white supremacists. A lot of Republicans even embracing Antifa because they were anti-racist. And this is where Donald Trump kind of stepped into it, because I think his only problem in his pronouncements, Brad, and you can comment, was that he didn't adequately and specifically talk about Antifa and why he would be critical of them, even though they're on the right side in terms of their views toward the racists there. Brad?
Yeah, violence is violence. Martin Luther King talked about things in a nonviolent fashion. And I haven't read the police report. We'll see what comes out. I don't know what's in people's individual minds, but obviously we got some problems. We have our own problems within this country. We're talking about trying to collaborate with with Putin and Russia and China. And here in our own country, certainly not necessarily to the exact percentage, but one half doesn't trust the other half here. And, you know, we're at a time where people are pointing fingers left and right, and maybe we all need to take a deep breath and look and be grateful for all that we do have, and then band together and fight the real evil that's been coming our way in this country. And I say that about the Russian investigation and everything else. You know, we've been going off on tangents. Why don't we really address how they acted towards us, how they tried to influence our election, what methods do they use? You don't hear much talk about that.
Not anymore. We've moved on, Brad. I mean, we had Saturday now. We have one other, you know, a crisis du jour to dwell on for 4 or 5 days until something else happens. It's kind of sad, but that's just the reality. We never let a good crisis go to waste. It's just this inundation. It's like one after another, which I argue, Brad, is designed to bring about exactly what we're talking about, the fact that, you know, it makes the country look bad, it makes the country look divided and separated, it foments more division, which is what Antifa and the left is really all about. I just can't see it any other way.
Yeah, I mean, it's a shame we're not talking about what we see the future looking like 10 years, 20 years out, and focus on efforts in that regard, because you're right, you are exactly right, and that's how this job has been in so many ways. It's managing one crisis at a time rather than really planning for the future. Well, you know, at what point did you and your wife sit down and decide how you were going to pay for your kids' college and get them through everything, right? Long time ago.
Yep.
And we're not doing that. We are just taking one day at a time. We might be taking 1 hour at a time, really. And I would hope that we can get on a conversation of what we want the world to look like for our children.
Well, and that's really the saddest part about all of this. And not sad in the sense that I'm ignoring the loss of life that occurred, but the saddest part of that reality, Brad, that, you know, that work isn't getting done, forward-looking people, thinking people aren't working on the future in a positive way for America, was the dissolution of that business council after all these CEOs just sort of, you know, said, I'm not touching this Trump guy with a 10-foot pole after these comments and the racially charged response. We're quitting this business council, so he disbands it. That was something that really could have done some good. Disparate corporate execs from a variety of different very successful companies with a variety of different political outlooks, different types of products and services, sitting around thinking about ideas that will work for all of us. That's what that was supposed to be, and now it doesn't exist anymore. Thanks very much, leftists.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you have an opportunity to have influence with the President of the United States and to guide the future of the country. And one incident or one misspeaking or whatever the case may be that you don't like, you quit. I heard one person say it the other day, are they leaders or retreaters?
Right.
I mean, I don't think you make any change when you retreat.
Exactly.
And so, you know, I think people could come out and say, I didn't like how it was said or whatever the case may be, but I want to continue to use my influence at this high level to try and steer America in a better direction.
Exactly.
What is so hard about that?
I don't know. It people run scared from these leftist folks. They're very well organized, and it's a very small number, but their numbers appear much larger based upon their activity online and social media and the like. I've read any number of accounts of that. And they are paid to attack, threaten boycotts, demonize, or otherwise marginalize anybody who would even stand in the same room, basically, as Trump. So you got to get the hell away from Donald Trump. We're not going to stand for it. He's racist. They, you know, the standard sort of mantra you get every time someone mentions Trump's name, they're not going to touch it with a 10-foot pole. They're done. It's easy for them to quit than to face the faux outrage that's being spouted.
You know, I got asked one time at a foreign policy meeting in Washington, D.C. It was a group called Atlanta Council, and this guy was condemning the president and some of the things he says. And I said, you know, sometimes you have people that speak really well, but their policy is horrible. And sometimes you have people that maybe don't speak that well, but they've got good policy. I feel like my job in Congress is to drive good policy for the future of America. And if Donald Trump is with me on those policies, let's drive on.
There you go. Let's talk about some of those policies and some of the other things that are going on in the world, including like North Korea. We'll continue with Congressman Brad Wenstrup after this quick word here. First, for Cullen Electric. Cullen Electric, family-owned and operated since 1999. They do a great job. They pride themselves on their honest reputation. They're proud of, and they do all facets of residential electric work. I needed a chandelier rewired, and they did that for me. They do outlet installations, can lights, You know, we didn't have any can lights put in our living room. I've already had a quote from Cullen. We're going to have them do that. We're just kind of waiting until we get a little closer to the holidays. But knob and tube, if you still have knob and tube, get that updated, especially the aluminum wiring as well. Safer for you, and of course, you're going to have it done at some point if you ever sell the house. I've been told insurance companies are kind of loath to insure homes with knob and tube. Get it upgraded by Cullen Electric. Maybe you want surround sound, specialty lighting for your new theater room or your old theater room, as the case may be, or even that Alexis-controlled LED lighting and surround sound. They have an A-plus with the Better Business Bureau. They'll give you a 10-year warranty on the work. Cullen Electric. You can find them online at CullenElectricCincinnati.com. Tell them Brian said hi when you call. 227-4112. It's 720 at 55 KRCD Talk Station. Happy Friday. Brian Thomas here with Congressman Brad Wenstrup. Just sort of going down a variety of different things that are going on in the world, and there's no shortage of things like that. And it seemed to be a victory, or at least something that one could praise President Trump for handling, was the situation in North Korea. Obviously, Kim Jong-un did not unload his four missiles over in Guam. I think there's a lot of question marks looming out there whether or not he could even hit them, what our response would be if they were launched, et cetera. But he backed off. And I that was great, although events over the weekend overshadowed what happened and the like. And Donald Trump, of course, not getting any love in the press. But then this new development, and I think he spoke the truth, but he should have kept his mouth shut, was Bannon's comments to that liberal magazine, American mm-hmm. Prospect. And Steve Bannon said, there is no military solution, forget it, until somebody solves the part of the equation that shows me that 10 million people in Seoul don't die in the first 30 minutes from conventional weapons. I don't know what you're talking about. There's no military solution here. They got us. Well, that's pretty damning, and let's face it, he does have a point. The big problem with the whole thing about North Korea is, heck, the DMZ is 30 miles from Seoul, 20 million people live in Seoul, and there are between 8 and 20,000 conventional weapons aimed at Seoul just 35 miles away. Brad, where are we on this one?
Well, you know, Bannon's not the president of the United States, for one thing, but he certainly raises some important considerations, obviously, with Seoul being so close and what really would be the end game. You know, we often look at our engagements with a foreign adversary and use all of our tools, and the acronym we use is called DIME. You know, you've got your diplomacy, and then information and intelligence gathering, and M is for military and E is for economic. Well, you've seen that we just increased more sanctions against North Korea.
Right. Thanks. Finally, China got on board for a change.
Yeah. And that to me is a big deal.
It is.
The diplomatic part. I was in China several months ago, and they seemed to leave me with the impression, they're like, yeah, we don't like what they're doing, but we want you to take care of it, and we don't want war, and we don't want refugees coming across our border. Well, I hope that they're realizing that it's going to take more than just us in this situation, because they're the biggest trade partner with North Korea. They basically are the lifeline to North Korea.
Right.
And so they can cut that off. And then there you get into the economic and diplomatic components of this. You know, the president had some tough talk, and language itself can be a deterrent, as well as a very strong military that can overwhelm a country. Yeah, I think what North Korea may be considering is, yeah, maybe we would hurt Seoul, but what if we are completely gone? And that is a sure possibility.
Well, it is.
Something that attacks the United States if they hit Guam. The other thing is, this leader doesn't want to show failure, right? If he were to try and do something and it failed, he would lose face amongst his people. And that is what he lives for, is to be the big guy, the savior to all his people. And they don't know how the rest of the world lives.
Yeah. I think Kim Jong-un is either completely out of his mind, or he knows better and knows and this may be why he called off the strike, knows full well that a response to an attack on Guam would be absolutely devastating to his country. There's no way he can fight a conventional war with the United States of America, period, end of story. But not to mention that we would have international partners, including South Korea, which I'm guessing, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, Brad, or you have a different perspective on this, I'm guessing South Korea is very, very well armed compared to North Korea insofar as it's a trading partner with us, and we have a defense agreement with it.
Yeah, if you consider the fact that you've got the U.S. military backing you in every way, shape, or form, including a presence on the peninsula, that is another thing for them to consider. You know, he's creating an image amongst his people that he's the big guy, and they can't survive without him. And he wants to be considered, you know, a world player. He wants to be on the world stage. And let's face it, he has accomplished that. You know, here's this small country, relatively, that he has put himself in the middle of the conversation on the world stage almost every day. And they're buying it. And, Dean, we learned that very significantly, well, that this is a country that is locked down.
Well, let me ask you this before we part on this topic, and because I want to ask you what's going to happen in Congress, if anything, in the next segment. But do you think, and this has been my perspective all along, I mean, China's been supporting North Korea. Without China, North Korea doesn't exist, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. But that that China is using North Korea to its advantage, you know, this crazy nuclear weapons aspiring guy down there, you know, look at him, look at him, look at him. Meanwhile, China is establishing itself in the South China Sea in disputed waters, which is like, no, don't look over here. Look over there at North Korea. He's their favorite dodge. They don't want to get rid of him.
Yeah, no, I agree with you 100% on that. And also, when you have that, hey, look over here instead of at this, that's my concern, too, when you talk about us collaborating closely with Russia and China and fighting terrorism. Let's not take our eye off the other ball that's out there, right? So it is a very complicated chess game that we're playing in this world today, and there's no assurances on anything. So we got to keep a cool head and use our heads and also use all of our assets that are available to us. It's a world of good versus evil. There's no doubt about it.
Well, I'm hoping the answer will be yes, but perhaps all of this this anger and again, I call it faux outrage in response to the Donald Trump's tweets. Maybe that's a diversion to keep us from paying attention to what Congress is doing right now. We'll see. Let's talk with Brad about that one coming up next. Don't go away, Brad. Be back after this word for Rush Limbaugh. Today, apparently, Chicago is changing the name of a couple of parks. I can only imagine why. Rush on that next. 7:31 right now, 55KR City Talk Station. 1 hour from now, Bruce Campbell with his book, Hail to the Chin, Further Confessions of a B-Movie Actor. Love those Bruce Campbell movies. In the meantime, Congressman Brad Wenstrup on the we're talking about a whole variety of issues. Of course, there's plenty to talk about with the congressman. And most importantly, I guess maybe save the best for last or the worst for last. We're going to find out what is going on. Obviously, Obamacare didn't go anywhere. That was an epic fail and disappointed so many folks. And I guess that everyone's just given up on that at this point, Brad?
No, I can't imagine. I don't think that we can, and it is a tremendous disappointment. You know, it's what so many of us ran on. I tell you, in the House, we worked hard to get a bill out the door. You know, when you're in the minority, you can always vote no. In the majority, you've got to go. And when we didn't pass a bill on the date we thought we were going to, guess what? We sat down with all ends of the spectrum, you know, and said, well, what are the sticking points? And there was about 10 of us one night. The next time we got together, it was about 20 of us, and Vice President Pence came. And we went over the sticking points, and people came up with good ideas. Some people using their expertise from their non-government jobs from before in insurance world and everything else to try and move something forward. And we got enough votes to move something over to the Senate. The Senate, great disappointment over there, obviously, that we didn't keep this ball rolling. But something has to be done. As you know, across the country, there's going to be many counties that are forced to purchase something by law or be penalized, and yet there will be nothing there to purchase. And so we got some tough decisions, and unfortunately, this did not go in the direction that it should go. It was easy to try and repeal it before the Affordable Care Act was put in place. Once it was put in place, it had more tentacles than an octopus does arms. That made it difficult. So something's got to
It always had tentacles, Brad, and everybody that went around, senators particularly that campaigned on this, knew what tentacles it had. And I think, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, that no one believed Donald Trump was going to get elected and Hillary Clinton was going to get elected, so it was going to be an issue.
Yeah. And, you know, that goes to one point where people say, well, you've had 7 years to do this, but the dynamics changed considerably throughout those 7 years.
Yeah.
In the House, you have turnover of members. You don't have everyone on the same page all the time. And who's in the White House makes a difference. So the planning changes. Now, we base this thing on using reconciliation in an effort to make it easier for the Senate to do as many things as we could under reconciliation, which, as you know, can only deal with things that involve the debt and deficit taxes. So things like that we'd like to see put in place, for example, letting associations buy plans as a group. Like, can you imagine the NRA and Sierra Club being in agreement on that, that they can purchase health care insurance for their members in a large way? That can't be done under reconciliation.
But Democrats are against that? That sounds so bipartisan. That sounds like a no-brainer. Who would be against that?
Well, you know, I actually saw a clip of Paul Ryan when Barack Obama was first elected, and he was allowed at a meeting at that time, and this is specifically what he brought up. And after that, the Republicans were shut out of the conversation, and that was not included in the process with the Affordable Care Act. But that's one of the things that Paul Ryan brought up way back when, 8 years ago, as possible solution to help people get more affordable health care. And it was shut down by the president and not considered. And I think we know where President Obama's agenda was going. You know, he wants to drive this thing to a single-payer system if he can. And if this fails but gets a single-payer system, he'd be happy with that. But we're not going to be happy with that. America's not going to be happy with that. And so we've got to continue. But obviously very disappointed in the Senate that knew what was coming and shamefully couldn't find a way to get to the votes to keep the process going.
Well, and honestly, I have a tremendous amount of, skepticism that it was about the bill itself or more about politics, and that John McCain perhaps had a bit of a chip on his shoulder and wanted to deprive Donald Trump of a victory.
I guess we'll never know that, but I know that's been conjecture. And if you had a problem with it, why didn't you sit down? And I know he's got some health issues, but before that, why didn't you sit down and iron out what you wanted in this and let the process move forward? Plus, you still have the opportunity during conferencing to tweak things and to make changes. And the president gets a chance to weigh in with his opinion as we go forward. So there are plenty of opportunities to keep the ball moving down the road. You know, after we passed our bill in the House, I didn't run to the White House and celebrate because I knew this was just one thing.
Right.
That this was just the beginning of getting this process going in the right direction. I didn't go jump up and down. I had skeptical optimism, if you will.
Right.
And it looks like I was right to be skeptical. But I'm not going to just give up on this. We have to do something on behalf of the American people.
Well,
they're wondering what the heck is going on.
Well, Medica, the last insurer in Iowa, just asked for a 57% rate increase. I mean, this is just unconscionable, Brad. Obviously, something has to be done. And the other component that's just baffling to me, Obamacare has been such a miserable failure that it's still around, and it hasn't just sort of, people have resigned themselves on the left to like, yep, it's bad, we've got to do something about it. There's nothing. They delivered something as so lousy a product, it is hurting so many Americans and not benefiting nearly the number that they promised. It's a failure, and yet here it is, still alive and well.
Yeah, and I consider healthcare to be a national priority like our defense is, right? And it shouldn't be as partisan. And that's where we've gotten to the point now where, you see Chuck Schumer saying things like, well, I don't have a plan, but I'm not going to come up with a plan as long as they're talking about repeal. Well, that's great leadership. Good job, Chuck. That doesn't help matters. And so here we are. It's failing. People have their head in the sand on the left that it's, hey, it's all good. That's what I hear from people on the left that are out there in the district, and they're telling me that, well, just tweak it a little bit. Well, it's beyond just tweaking it a little bit.
Well, you need across the aisle support to tweak it. As you pointed out, you need 60 votes in the Senate. If it's not in reconciliation, nobody's interested in playing nice with each other in Capitol Hill, and for a lot of different reasons. But you can't tweak something if you can't get people to agree on a tweak.
I'm hoping that as this is coming to reality for the American people, that they scream loud enough that we can get something done. And I hope that in the House that we move forward with some of the things that we want to implement that are outside of reconciliation. As we know, Secretary Price has a lot of opportunities, although, as he said, he's got 240 agencies underneath him. But he has a lot of opportunities to make some changes as secretary. And then personally, I guess in the meantime, I'm going to continue to work on some of the things that are near and dear to me, like trying to fix our VA system and making sure our military is ready, especially our military medical readiness. That's right in my wheelhouse. And we're going to continue to come up better ways of fighting poverty, which have failed over the last 60 years, mm-hmm. where we punish people for success.
Looking for a tax reform, too, Congressman Winstrup.
Yes. Yeah.
So anyhow, it's great talking to you. I appreciate the update and keeping in touch with my listeners. I look forward to having you back on the program again, and I hope you have a great weekend, Brad.
Yeah, I hope your mom's doing better, Brian.
She is. That's very kind of you to ask. And John Donaldson just said, tell you hi and begging you, and I will as well, I'll echo his pleas. Can you help the city of Cincinnati get out of the blanking MSD consent decree with the EPA, or can you get some money to pay for it? Cleveland got theirs paid for, Brad. How come we don't? Just leave it hanging out there. Would you help us, please?
That's a good question. You know what? Not one person has called me about that, that is involved with that on a local level.
That is insane. Congressman Winstrup, here's the plea from everybody in Hamilton County. Help us get the EPA off our back. Thanks again for coming on the program, Brad.
Well, you bet. You know we're trying.
I appreciate it. 740 right now, 55KRC Talk Station. Stick around. We've got Mark on the phone with a comment, 749-5500, #550 on your AT&T phone, 800-823-TALK. Funny story, the racists have found out that, well, they've got an interesting genetic background. We'll get that story coming up as well. Thanks, Taryn, for that. First, a word for Advanced Patient Imaging. Speaking of medicine, Advanced